last week, we look at a very dark world. It is spiritually a very dark world. Remember, Jesus preached about our spiritual being more than anything else. He was concerned about that. The physical will take care of itself, but in this dark world, we need to be a light. We need to illuminate. We need to show our light in the world. I've had a little light outside of my porch that during the day it collects a lot of sunlight. So at night it illuminates, okay, and it's big enough. And I do that because if I'm coming home late, it gets darker. And by the way, daylight saving time ends the week after next. So make sure, what does that mean? That you turn your clocks back, right? So it's going to get darker. And as time gets darker, you know, you go out and do things during the day and night, then, you know, you want to make sure you see you don't stumble. And this world will easily let us stumble if we're not careful. This world will get a hold of our mind and our thoughts if we're not careful. We got to keep, you know, it's a spiritual battle for the mind. It really is. And it's what we allow in and, you know, what we can share and just be on light for the Lord. So there are many things we looked at last week. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the will of the Lord. If the will of the Lord will allow us to do this or that throughout the day, if the Lord wills, like it says in James. So as we're continuing here in the book of Ephesians, we're looking at we need to walk according to, and let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 as we continue in this epistle here. And remember, it was written to the churches back in that day. It's written to us today. Same Holy Spirit, okay, back in the Old Testament and as it is today. The only difference in the Old Testament, it came and it went. And as it is today, we're already sealed with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come and go, but it's permanently there in us, a part of God that's in us. And so it says here, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." We have to be more than careful, and we can learn from history. Dr. Livingston, when he was about 10 years of age, it says in his memoirs that he wanted to become a missionary. And he wanted to become a doctor. So God honored that. He went to medical school, got his doctorate, and therefore he went out and he wanted to minister in China. But by the time he was ready to go, God had a different plan in his will. He could not go to China because of the Opium Wars. And what happened there was is that England was at war with China now. And because England and the business people there from England became greedy because they would trade tea in for material goods, and they decided, you know what, we'll trade opium too. So that caused a war that was going on in their economy. England became at war with China. So Dr. Livingston could not go. And then God had opened up the door for him to go to Africa. And he was there, and he had quoted, look, he goes, there's nothing that anybody can get in the way of God. If God has something in his providence and his will, remember, you have to go with the Holy Spirit's guidance in everyday living. You have to go by the word, what the word says in everyday living. And then you have his providence. All three of those lights should go on. Then you got, you know what, Lord, this is what you want me to do today. And what happened with Dr. Livingston, he was able to, one day, he talked with his friend about his big problem, and he says, why don't you just go by faith? Go by faith. Go. And everything fell into place, and so he was instrumental in dealing with the slave trade, and he was able to help out many people as you know, in his life. But just as it was here and today, back in Livingston's time, back in his in the time of Ephesus, that we need to be walking carefully, carefully. And the idea here is that because about our time, that we need to use it carefully because the days are evil. Psalms 90:12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may present to you, Lord, a heart of wisdom." So we need to number them. We need to count like we do with at home with what we have. God's entrusted us with that because God has given us to us to use as wise stewards. So what does it say here about time? Have some quotes here. Don't let yesterday use up too much of today. In other words, with your time, don't live in the past. So many Christians today live and will like it used to be. I wish it was like it. No, it can't be that way because it's time to move on. It's time to get busy what we do now. Another one is yesterday is a canceled check, tomorrow is a promissory note, and today is cash. Use what you have, okay? You're not promised tomorrow. And yesterday, you can't change that. Also, in childhood, time creeps. To teens, time walks. To young adults, time runs. To middle age, time flies. To old age, here it comes, time flashes by. Use your time wisely. Use it as unto the Lord. Redeem it. Buy it up as much as you can, regardless of what situation. I am sure each one of us could write epistles on our lives and what we've been through. Use that time wisely because, you know, God may take any one of us home tomorrow, okay, or even today. There's no guarantee. And how to use time wisely? First, if we break down time for T, is yesterday's is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. I've always been told that, you know, it's a gift. Use your time. Redeem the time. It is valuable. Everyone has the same amount of time for today. So the I in time, you can't save time. You only invest it. So, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Where you invest your time reveals your priorities. So you need to invest it because it's precious. Look at yourself. Get out a journal or some book and write down, what do I do during the day? What do I do with my time? Am I managing it right? And that's the next part with time. T-I-M, our time. The life comes from God. We manage it for Him. He gives us things to do. How are we managing it? If you don't manage your time, someone else will manage it for you. If you spend too much time just watching something all the time, they're just putting thoughts in your head. Are you learning from it or whatever you do? If you manage your time for God, He can manage your life. Make a to-do list. Prioritize the list. Choose your tasks. Don't let them choose you. Determine the time to finish a task. Don't take all day. Value your time. Don't put off today's jobs for tomorrow. It may never come. Build breathing room for your schedule. And, of course, the last one, E, there will always be something else to do. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Create happy memories. You don't have long to live. Okay? And when you say yes to a certain time, you say no to another time. So you make choices in your time. We need to redeem that time because the days are short. They're all so evil. I don't have to get into the evil part. I've been talking about different things in the past couple of weeks, about the works of the flesh, about history, and what people have been doing. And, you know, we have to realize what the will of the Lord is here. So moving on here to reading verses 15 and 16 in Ephesians chapter 5. So if we're wise about our time, we will use it properly. There is a time here, like Martin Luther said, if there were in the will of God, I'd plant an oak tree today, even if Christ were coming tomorrow. So some people may say, look, you know, the days are evil. And I'm really confused. I don't know how to handle God's time. Well, continue to be faithful. Be faithful what God's called you to do. And He will bring things to pass in His sovereign will. There was a story about a man who actually was out on a ship, accordingly to this story, which is a true story. And he said that he went out and he was lost out at sea. And then eventually he came to an island. And he was lost. He was shipwrecked. And he decided what supplies he had. And, you know, and this is dealing with God's will. And he thought, well, he was a Christian man. He thought, well, you know what? I'll take what little I have. I will build a hut. I will, you know, subside, make some things that I have, do the best I can. I'll build he had some flint stones, and he was able to make a fire. And he got, you know, he had everything he needed. He went out to look for some food. And as he was out looking for food, he noticed there was a smell of smoke. He was on the other side of the island. And he looked over, and he was like, oh, my goodness, that's where my hut's at, and I have forgotten to put the fire out. Sometimes we forget things in life. And there was a wind coming off of the coast. So it burned his whole hut down. He was like a Robinson Crusoe in a sense. But he was just like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I have nothing. Well, little did he know in God's providence, because the world is cursed and there's all kinds of issues. He was hungry. He was thirsty. There was another ship over in the horizon. And they saw the smoke signal coming up. And they were like, okay, it looks like somebody's in distress, you know. So they came on over, and they found the guy, and the guy was like, what are you doing here? They said, we saw your distress signal, the smoke. And he was like, wow, you know, if it wasn't for my hut burning down, then I would have never been rescued. I didn't think about that. So sometimes we may be presented with a difficulty that may be instrumental in our lives to help us, to bring us back home to Him. So take everything, and what I'm trying to encourage people with today is take everything that is going on in your life and saying God's in control. He's going to take care of everything. I'm not going to dwell on negative circumstances. I'm going to dwell on the positive things in life. And He's in control anyway. There's nothing more I can do about it. And I know each one of you, as much as you've let me get to know you, you've all had issues. And you have some things on hold. You have some things on go. You have some things on stop. But God will take care of all that. So, just as we were talking about there in the book of 1 Corinthians, in the book of Corinth, there were all kinds of issues that the church was having. And there was all kinds of evil going on in the city of Corinth, and it's no different as we were talking about in Sunday school. It's no different as it was. Okay, we do live in a pagan society. We do have different areas there where we can have all kinds of sin, but yet, you know, people like to cover up their sin, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You don't have to look very far. It's there. So moving along here, we have on verse 17. So we looked at walking circumspectly and redeeming the time. And then in verse 17, we have here, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, some of us get confused about God's will. And there's obstacles that could be our own self-will, the influence from others. So we can be our worst enemy. We can get in the way of what God wants us to do. There's also the influence of others. You know, when I think about a good lesson to learn, how somebody can help somebody else who is a little bit confused, I'm reminded of the story of Elisha and Elijah, two different prophets. In 1 Kings 19, chapter 19, verses 19 through 21, it says, so he departed, that's Elijah, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. You have to understand that, remember, Elisha just destroyed those 450 prophets of Baal. And he destroyed their whole testimony. In fact, the people went out and they killed them because they realized that Baal was the false prophet. Now, there was an evil lady who actually made things very difficult for him. Her name was Jezebel. And he was so fearful of Jezebel, he went to go hide in a cave. And you think, okay, well, Elisha, your job is done. And think of it today. Fear is the biggest problem for most people today. The opposite of fear is faith. So here you have Elisha went into a cave and he was hiding there. And so God called him out in the previous chapter. He called him out and said, Elijah, and he talked to him in a quiet, still voice. You know, when it comes to God's will, one of the worst things to do for me is when I try to read, I don't want interruptions. I have a very short memory span where, you know, I easily get distracted. And so if I'm reading something, I like to be alone and read something, a good book, if I can, if I have the time, right? You do too. But what we don't like is when we get distractions. And it's like when God speaks to in a quiet, still voice, like he did to Elisha, okay, he could understand. That's how God spoke to him. And God is saying in verse 17, and he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke into the rocks and the pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, but in a still, quiet voice. And so he understood what God was saying. When we get along with God, we don't want interruptions. And it's interesting as the story went on, so he went from Elijah to Elisha, and he confronted this other prophet took, we don't have the time to get into it, but he took his coat off and he put it on his back. And he says, God has called you to be a prophet. I want you to walk with me. And so Elijah turned back from him and took the yoke of the oxen and slaughtered them and boiled the flesh. And so you have Elijah, who was a farmer, okay? And while he was farming, Elijah came up to him and threw his cloak over him and said, God has called you. After listening to what the Lord had to say in some quiet time, alone with him, a still, quiet, small voice. And I believe God works in the same way today, too, in his spirit. God speaks to us in his holy way. And what happened was is that the prophet who was in the field plowing along, he decided to kill his oxen and he gave it to the people there, the food, had a great feast. And also, he gave to the people all his equipment that he had. He says, I'm going to follow the Lord. And, you know, not all of us are called to do that, but yet there was a time here in God's will. We have to be sensitive to what I'm trying to do. We have to be sensitive to what God's calling us and telling us what to do and step out by faith. And so we see here verse 17 and chapter 5, it says back in Ephesians, therefore do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We don't want to be ignorant of God's principles. We need to leave to God all our consequences to him, knowing that God will supply all our needs. we need to take one step at a time with him. And we need to also know, too, that there's a willful known of sin. If there's sin in our lives, God can't really speak to us. It deafens our ears to the voice of God. Sin blinds our eyes to the vision of God. It hardens our hearts to the awareness of God. See, I've learned over the years, and I'm sure you have, being guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very sensitive in our lives. And we have our own free will. And where our free will comes together with God, that's how he works. And he guides us. Sometimes we get out of step, out of line, and then he moves us to go in the straight and narrow. But he wants to bless us and take care of us. And he understands that we're frail. He knows that we've got issues, we've got problems. We're sinners saved by grace today. If you're listening online, you need Christ to guide you today. You need Christ as your Savior. And so as we're walking with him, we should never doubt. We should never doubt that God has a personal will in our lives. Sometimes we doubt that the Lord will make his will known. Sometimes we doubt that we can do that God can't do what he requires. Sometimes we doubt God because we don't have all the facts. And so, you know, sometimes in life, life can be an open book. And so we need to seek the Lord while we can. And that's here that is very important. So, remember, God's will, we have to have the Word of God. And it kind of reminds me, and I'll pick it up from there. It kind of reminds me when my dad was a bay pilot. And he used to bring ships up and down the Chesapeake Bay. And he'd work all kinds of hours for 40 years he did this. But he said there was a light, there were lights in the bay as you went up. And he said there were three lights in each light, okay, made up of one light had three lights. He says you only had two lights that were on, that means there was danger, okay? You had to have all three lights. And it is just like it is with the Word of God. We have the Word of God, which is our objective standard. We have the Holy Spirit, which is our subjective witness. And we have circumstances, which is his divine providence. We're all settled down today. I'm sure we are. But each day, we have to walk circumspectly. We have to walk wisely. We have to discern what the will of the Lord is. But there are so many reasons and opportunities to step out of God's will. And so it says here, it goes on to say about understanding what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine. We were talking about this in Sunday school too, just off to the side here. You know, an accident can change somebody's life so quickly. One thing, one fall can change everything. We have to be so careful. The Bible never says that you shouldn't drink, but it says you better be careful if you even try a little bit. Okay? Verse 18, and it's saying here in this context, don't be even drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We'll look at the Holy Spirit here in a minute. Isaiah 5, 11 and 12 says, woe to those who rise early in the morning that they run after strong drink and who tarry late in the evening as wine inflames them. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink. In other words, don't hang around with it. Don't drink too much of it because it can be addictive. If people talk about drugs or smoking, be careful if you have that. I also told people, I said, I've been to Christian homes where they've had a lot of alcohol. Do I stand there in judgment? No. I care about them. That is between them and the Lord. If somebody smokes or somebody does other extra activities, that's between them and the Lord. They know what they're doing to their bodies. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not quarreling and jealousy. In other words, drinking too much can start fights. And and brawls. 1 Peter 4:3, for the time has passed, suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. In other words, don't hang around with people that are drinking, okay? Got to be careful. There's nothing wrong with going into a restaurant. Just about every restaurant has an alcohol beverage. We're talking about this in Sunday school. You know, you want to have a good meal. Doesn't mean you have to drink, okay? But be careful. You get around people who indulge in alcohol all the time, I will guarantee you will pick up a habit like that. So just be careful, okay? Proverbs 21 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. So we have to be careful. People who drink a lot will end up being loudmouth, okay? Be very loud with their voices. And that you get around people like do that, and it escalates, okay? They may be thinking they're having a good time. Like I said before about alcohol, it's like there's nothing wrong going out to eat and have a little bit of wine, okay? And what you know, I used to do before I became a pastor, I had a little bit in my glass, a little bit, and I'd have it with dinner, okay? And I would never finish it because I'm letting people know I don't have to drink anymore. I have a little bit with my food, and that's it. That's it. And you have to draw, you know yourself, you have to draw a line where you say yes and no. So the Lord is saying, stay away from do not be drunk, okay? Now, it says here, do not be drunk with wine and dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, we have to ask ourselves this question. Have I given control of my life to the Holy Spirit? Is he dwelling in me? Am I seeing more of the Holy Spirit instead of me? Because I could be my worst enemy. Am I cooperating with the Holy Spirit? In other words, God's given us our own free will. We have the joy of the Lord, which is through the Holy Spirit. We're going side by side. We're, you know, life is being kind. Life is being good to us, regardless of what happens. Like we said last week, we don't reject what we've experienced in the light. We don't reject that in darkness. So we have to carry on regardless. And with the Holy Spirit, am I staying in close contact with him? So he's our friend. He's our confidant. He's a personality. He's a real being that's living within us. And so we need to take that seriously. But then he says here, if we're filled with the Spirit, and some people misunderstand this. Once you have the Holy Spirit, you can't get any more of him. He's already there in you, okay? The problem is we have too much of ourselves. And I'm constantly at war, amen? We're all at war with this. You know, Lord, is it more of you? It's nothing more beautiful than seeing somebody's personality and them with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more beautiful than that. Because you see the person's living right for the Lord is that love. And you're being encouraged and loved, and you're like, wow, I really like this person. That's why you have the books of the Bible like you do. They're not all the same word for word. If it was that, I don't believe the scriptures would be scriptures. That's why you have different personalities. You have different names in the Bible. They were all guided by the Holy Spirit today, to now, to you and I, as we're listening, as we're being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms. And that has the idea of psalms are scriptures set to music. The book of Psalms is so much music in there, you know. And it's just a beautiful, you know, I'm very thankful for music. Very thankful for voice. I'm thankful for instrument. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. So, you know, you don't have to be playing music or singing to be filled with the Spirit, but these are the aftermaths of the worship. That's what it's all about, is worship. You know, Paul's saying, look, you know, worship God. Worship God today at home and praise. So he goes on to say here that psalms and hymns, And that's known as the theology of music. We have such a wonderful setup here at church today. We have a one person on the board who checks with the music, and we have our musicians, and everybody is submitted. Everybody's in submission, okay, to what? The Word of God, because one person on the board is just like, hey, I got to make sure this is in line with the Word of God. There was a study that Kimberly and I did at our previous church. Over 100 musicians through, it was contemporary, and we looked at these contemporary songs, and about 90, and I'm not making this up, about 90% of the musicians, their theology was way off, their doctrine was way off. The music may have sounded good, okay, but it was way off. And, you know, so you have some contemporary music out there that is okay, as long as it lines up. The praise, we have hymns. But you have to be very careful with this modern day music. That is why I'm like, I'm very thankful for the hymns here and the praise. And then we have spiritual songs, are the testimony sent to music. So when we praise the Lord, when we're singing, we're giving a testimony of our lives. It breaks us free, gives us joy, the joy of the Lord. And then we are proclaiming, noticing that we're verbally addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are reminding one another what we say. It's not that we just sing the songs while we're up here. We're singing them because we're worshiping the Lord. We're here to encourage one another. The hymns that we sing today, I remember when I was first saved over 40 years ago. And they haven't changed at all. I'm very thankful. But we have to be careful about doctrine. Yes, we have to be careful about many things. Because some songs out there are no good. And they may sound good, but they're not good. Paul's saying, look, it's the Holy Spirit that counts because the days are evil. I want you to be lifted up. I want you to be energized by the Holy Spirit and sing. Sing unto the Lord. Play unto the Lord. You know, talk to one another in hymns and spiritual songs and making a joyful noise unto the Lord. So that's very important in God's will. It's so important. And there are many stories about hymns and songs and spiritual songs. And yet, it says on, to go on here, so I'm saying here, unfortunately, there are a lot of people today that are not filled with God's Spirit, are not filled with the joy of the Lord. For example, with our younger people, because I'm always thinking about them, and even our older people, but like with our Generation Alpha, they spend up, that's from 2014 up to now, they call it Generation Alpha, that most people spend about 8 hours on their electronics, 8 hours. And it's different from somebody who has to work a job and works with on the screen. That's different. But then you have people who get into TikTok, YouTube, Instagram videos, and the kids used to call it dope. And where they call that information about dope, they use that for dopamine. And what they would mean by is that would turn me on, okay? And when people sit down to look at these instruments, they would get turned on to this. There's that chemical that releases in your mind. It says 40% of young adults are self-addicted. Another study revealed up to 57% are digitally addicted. Okay? So, watching too much screen is not good for you. It slows your mind down. You know, my parents used to call TV the idiot box because it would just, they would tell me, you need to read. You need to get out there and do things instead of just letting your mind just go watching the screen. So it says at least 33 million Americans are addicted to social media, which leads to anxiety, anger, insecurity, shallowness, and dishonesty. And if you watch something long enough, it can bore you. And then all of a sudden you start looking for other things. And you have to be careful. You don't want to get on the wrong track. You don't want to get on the wrong ditty. You don't want to get on the wrong line. So there's all kinds of ways that this world can set you up. So you have to be real careful. So Lord wants us to be filled with the Spirit, singing with hymns, songs, and spiritual songs, making a melody in our heart. We need not to be unwise. We need to be redeeming the time. We need to be walking circumspectly with the Lord in our hearts every day. So moving along here, it says, also giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be thankful. Do we realize in these verses, in verses 15 through 21, we have mentioned God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have the Trinity here. So if anybody doubts Scripture, it says it's right here. Just read it for what it is. So we should be thankful in all things that we have. We give thanks unto the Lord. So we live in a very unthankful society today. And we have to understand we need to be guided by God's will. And so I pray today that we will be guided by His will. And it's something that we have to work at every day. Some scriptures here to share. And by the way, with this, we need to be submitting to one another in the fear of God. So that has the idea of not only being thankful, but we need to, as a military term, to submit to those who God has put into authority. And our ultimate authority in my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Second of all, it's you all. And third, it's me last. So keeping that in perspective, God blesses my life. He blesses your life. And that we should be servants one to another. And, you know, I pity the person out there that think that he's all this and that and the other, or, you know. But that's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to do His will, which will set us free. Set yourself free today and this week and for the rest of your life. Follow His will. You know, I may not have everything right, but I try. And, you all may not have everything right, but you try. You want to follow and do what the Lord tells you to do. Nobody's perfect, but we try. We do our due diligence. God wants us to be saved. God wants us to surrender His life fully to Him. God wants us to be sanctified and to avoid sexual immorality. God wants us to give thanks in all circumstances. God wants us to grow in Christ's likeness. God wants us to justly love mercy and walk humbly with Him. God wants us to gather regularly with His people to worship. God wants us, if we were to get married, not to be mismatched with somebody who's, you know, a saved with an unsaved person. These are just wise choices to make through life. And we can share them with other people. You know, this is what the will of the Lord is. Remember, knowing the will of the Lord is His Word, being in communion with His Holy Spirit, and seeking His divine providence in our lives every day. Because it's like we said earlier, you know, an accident can change your life. But remember, through that accident, it's like that guy who was on that island, okay? There was a blessing down the road for him, okay? Because they found him, that life took a different turn of events where he realized that, you know what, just because I crashed, became shipwrecked, God used that circumstance. Who knows, the story ends there. But he could have made new friends. He could have shared this as a testimony. He says, look, God turned the whole situation around for good and used it as a testimony. So life is too short to do everything we want to do, but it is long enough for us to do everything God wants us to do. I'll say that again as I'm closing here. Life is too short to do everything we want to do, but it is long enough for us to do everything God wants us to do. So no matter how long we've been saved, how short we've been saved, God is still working in a perfecting way to get His will done in our lives. So, you know, just take these verses, apply them to our lives today, and see that the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for this time. Lord, just thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You for all the blessings that You've been to us this past week. We do try to do what Your will would have us to do. And Lord, we know with time it's a very precious thing. And we just ask You, God, that You would just show us to be good stewards of our time. And we thank You, Lord, for the way You have provided for us. You've taken good care of us. God, where You have called us. And Lord, we thank You for Your still, quiet, small voice. Lord, that You're not out there where there's thundering, lightning, or earthquakes and all, but You speak to us very quietly. And Lord, help us to stay away from all the confusion and all the distractions that happen in life, so we can just sit down and say, you know, it's been good today to be with the Lord. I have heard that from saints of God, even in this church here, where they say, you know, Lord, it has been good to be with Your people today. Father, help us to understand Your will better in Your providence and through Your word and through Your Spirit. Lord, help those lights, all three of those lights, to be on in our lives every day so we can follow You humbly and trust You and obey You. Father, we just pray if there's somebody here who doesn't know You as Savior, you might be the lost sheep. You might be somebody who's lost and you have no one else to turn. Hey, you've got Jesus. Ask Him. Talk to Him today. I will guarantee you that He will talk to you. I came to know the Lord at one time and I sought the Lord, but the Lord sought me and found me. And He knew where I was, and I'm very thankful, Lord. Just pray that if you don't know Christ, believe by faith. Believe in His death, burial, and resurrection. Believe that He can save you from your sins. Believe by faith, and it's through grace, through His Son, that He did all this. For there's no way unto the Father but through the Son. And we thank You for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.